That's the sound of Jet inviting you to hold on. And no need to hold on much longer because the plumbing boss, Barry Chapman, is in the house. Every Tuesday around this time, 3:15, we are in conversation with Barry about what the world of plumbing is all about. Now, many folk don't really appreciate how important it is in terms of keeping things moving and extremely important, of course, to make sure that whatever you bring into your home in the way of waterborne anything, and you know that it leaves in the proper manner, because in between it coming in and going out, there can be an awfully large amount of issues that can make your life an absolute living nightmare. But we're not going to necessarily be talking about that today, Barry. I thought it would be very interesting. As you will recall, we had a little natter. In fact, my beloved Sue is in Cape Town right now. For our sins, we are doing a long distance renovation of an apartment in Cape Town. And one of the issues, and unfortunately it's gone just too far because I asked your advice too late, but it was a smallish bathroom, and built into this smallish bathroom is a geezer that has been boxed into it's kind of takes up too much space, and it's just terribly ugly and even more difficult to get to than normal, because you've now got this box has now got to be modified to get to have a doorway or some kind of open aperture that you can get to. And I asked you about this thing, and I said, isn't there an alternative? And you said there is. So I thought, because dear listener, you might be in a similar situation, let's talk about it. Geezers are kind of old school. They work, but they also use a fortune of electricity just to keep the water in the big, big barrel hot.
Yeah, so I was actually doing a little bit of reading yesterday about hot water cylinders, hot water heaters, and the technology around them, and how they literally have not changed in like for a fair part of a century.
Oh, really? So it's an old technology.
A boiler is a boiler. It's a cylinder, hot water cylinder with the elements in it.
And but I was looking at some of the images of these things online, and they certainly have improved in terms of the aesthetic appeal.
No, definitely. The aesthetics have certainly made them look, well, I don't know whether you could ever say a geezer's good looking, but the other options that you have with the instantaneous water heaters and gas water heaters and things like that, they certainly started making them look really, really attractive and almost become part of your bathroom installation.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. If you have a small bathroom and a huge geyser just clearly doesn't fit, but if you're in an apartment, especially a heritage building, you can't whack a geezer on the outside. That's not going to happen. You can't put it on the roof. That's not going to happen. So it's got to be housed in your small apartment, in your small bathroom, and it is very cumbersome and bulky and ugly and all of those good things. Whereas the electric water heater, I'm not talking about a gas appliance because that's a different story, but the electric water heater seems to be, or those that you mentioned last week, they seem to be much smaller, much more sensible for that sort of space. But do they work?
So we have it's called an instantaneous water heater. There's, I'm going to say, one predominant supplier in South Africa that really has good backup service and everything like that. And this instantaneous water heater has a 6 to 8 kilowatt rating on it.
Wow.
So 6 to 8,000 watts of current, of draw when that item is heating up water. But remember, it sounds extremely high, but it's only heating up water while you are showering.
A standard or filling the bath.
Or filling the bath.
So while the hot water tap is running.
100%. So where's your standard conventional hot water cylinder, hot water heater, a geyser, whatever you want to call the thing, it is constantly on. It heats up, thermostat kicks it off, it cools down a little bit, it heats up again. So through a day, that geyser may go through 10 different cycles of turning on and off and on and off.
And apparently it's by far the biggest user of electricity in the average home. Is that right?
Yeah, if you don't have an alternative source of heat, of providing hot water in your house, it's 40 to 50% of your household's electrical consumption.
Wow.
Which is massive. So going as far as just putting an electrical timer on your geyser in your house and only turning it on when you are requiring it makes a massive difference as well.
Can that timer be installed at the DB or does it have to be at the geyser?
So obviously with it being an electrical installation, that's the electrician's job to do it. You can have a DB timer put into your circuit breaker. There's some circuit breaker manufacturers that have got a Wi-Fi capable circuit breaker now as well, or Wi-Fi timer that fits into your DB board. So that thing gets linked up to an app on your phone and you can then control the temperature, control the times on your phone. So you can turn it on and off at any given time. So I've been a person of experimentation. I've physically tried these things as I've gone through the years of my trade with heat pumps and putting in timers on geysers at home and doing solar PV water heating systems and solar thermal. So I've physically tried all of them at home to get an understanding of how they work and how they operate, so that when I sell a product or talk about the product, I know what I'm talking about. If I don't know what I'm talking about, I will surely go and research it and then come back to you with the right information. But yeah, so hot water electric cylinders are kind of not for this day and age of building. We don't have basements that we've got all this big space that we can throw them into, and a lot of our more compact living areas like your spot in Cape Town, and we've got a number of those places in our Dolphin Coast area where geysers are boxed in above a bath. You cannot actually stand in the bath because you'll dunk your head on it. There's places in the heart of Ballito that have got geysers mounted with threaded rod dangling from the roof slab, which gives me the krills because that's 150 plus another 50 kilograms worth of bits and bobs around it and the weight of the geyser. So you've got 200 kgs just dangling from the ceiling. So wow. When it comes to compliant installations, you don't turn away work, but there's some stages where you actually have to stand up and go, I can't put my name to this because of what it is and how it is going to be installed.
So is it viable, if you are in a situation like that, to look at removing the big geyser and fitting a smaller electric heater, water heater? Is that what it's called?
Instantaneous water heater.
Instantaneous water heater.
So down that aspect, the one biggest limiting factor that you have is, do you have enough power supply to your house?
Okay.
Do you have access to run a bigger power cable from your distribution board to where this instantaneous water heater is going to be? So your conventional hot water heater, 150 liter, got a 3,000 watt element in it. It runs off a 2.5 mil standard wire. The instantaneous water heater is a 68,000 watt. It's a 6 mil. It's drawing 35 amps. So it's a massive, massive difference between the two. So it has to have the correct size power lines and power cables and isolators and circuit breakers.
And that's
breakers.
Not just from your DB, that's from the municipal supply coming in.
So
is that right?
Well, generally your municipal supply coming in should be sufficient to service that.
Oh, really? Okay.
But it's just making sure that you, from your DB board, distribution board in your house, that you can get to where you want to put this thing. Now, bear in mind that these units are generally one bathroom application. You do get slightly bigger ones, but then you're stepping into three phase. Okay. And majority of houses don't have three phase to run 12,000 watts.
Okay, but you might put two units if you've got two bathrooms.
100%. They literally, it's 350 mils high, 250 mils wide, and 100 mils deep.
Wow.
And it's got a little LED display on it where you can set the temperature to your desired temperature and open the tap and off you go. So they do have slightly lower flow rates than a conventional geyser, because as it's heating up the water, it is restricting the flow of the water to make sure it can get to the temperature that you desire. So the higher you set the temperature, it's the same with a gas geyser as well. The higher you set the temperature, the less flow of water you're going to get out of the vessel, because it needs, I mean, out of the appliance, because it needs to slow the flow down so it can get up to temperature.
Okay. But if you wanted a shower, there's nothing worse than a shower with no pressure, or very, very low pressure. Would you be able to get a reasonable pressure if you worked with it? Could you get a shower out of it?
So they're working between 8 to 10 liters a minute, which majority of our showers these days have got water-saving heads on it, so anything from 4 to 7 liters a minute.
Okay, so it'll work.
Bearing in mind you're still blending with hot and hot and cold. So, yeah, you could probably have a shower quite happily, as long as you don't have a big rain dance shower or one of those crazy things that dumps out a river when you're in the shower.
So it would appear to be a reasonable solution, because as you say, it does use a lot of electricity, but only when the tap's on, as opposed to the conventional geyser that continuously, unless you put a timer on it, and even then it's still going to be switching on and off an awfully large amount of time when you're not even there, you know, so to speak. So it's not even a swings and roundabouts. It's I suppose an aesthetic decision that you need to make based on the fact that you need to establish you can put that 6 mil cable into effectively power it, and well, then the rest depends on, I suppose, the aesthetics, the money aspect. It will be more expensive, clearly.
Yeah,
initially
they are. So the instantaneous water heater, your entry kind of entry model, you're looking around the 7,000 to 8,000 rand mark.
Okay.
So it's substantially more than a conventional water heater, and then you've still got the installation on top of that.
So go large, go 15 for argument's sake. I would imagine you could do it for that. Yes, it is an expense, but like all of these things, it's a trade-off. Are you going to then increase the aesthetic appeal of your little property or big property? If so, it's an investment, because now clearly you've taken a situation that is unattractive and to a large degree, I suppose, impractical, and you've removed the impracticality, and you've tidied up the area. You've given yourself more space in a limited space environment. That's worth a lot of money.
100%. But you also, on top of that, you do also get a massive cost saving on your consumption, because
that's the big one.
And it's instantaneous, as it's instantaneous water heater.
Wow.
When you get the thing in, your water is now being heated on demand, and your electricity meter is not just ticking over during the day while you're not there, happy-go-lucky. So it is a massive cost saver on your electricity bill as well.
So it would appear to be a real solution to a problem that you may be facing, or you may be facing in the near future. And if you want to find out more, my very special guest on a Tuesday afternoon, Barry Chapman, would be, I think, only too happy to discuss these and any other plumbing-related matters with you. Barry, it's always fantastic having a Tuesday afternoon catch-up. I look forward to the next one. And, the plumbing boss available for you, generally speaking, on demand, like that super water heater we've been talking about. And we'll be back on it next Tuesday, same time, same place. If you've just joined us and you're wondering what the conversation was about, it'll go up as a podcast shortly and you'll be able to catch up. Barry, till next Tuesday.
Thank you, sir.
And the afternoon show continues with Steely Dan reeling in the